B-Pod Studios.
Zoe and Beetle, working to keep you up to date at work.
Rose.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, you'd know it if
you'd
smelled it.
You'd know it if you smelled it.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Freshly shaved.
Right. Whoa, good haircut.
Keep it in here. Don't need it out here. No, it's like, don't need to do that. Let you know, girl, you're
out of sight. Noontime hour on a Thursday. Zolak and Bertrand. Tim McCone in for Hottie today.
Texted Hardy this morning. Tell Calvin happy Veterans Day.
Why do you want me to tell him
that? I'm like, I totally forgot you're out. Saw the rundown. I'm like, McCone's in. That's right.
All right, let's get to this Adam Schefter story. Mike Florio writes this on Pro Football Talk. Some in the industry think Adam Schefter is trying to get fired by ESPN so he can cash in on one of the cash-rich sports books. By the way, sports books left and right are opening coverage, media outlets, etc. Do we have to go work for one? Maybe we should go work for one of them.
There's money there.
They're just giving everybody all this money?
There's money there. There's gamblers left. Oh, always gambling. Gamble here, gamble there.
Yeah, gamble, gamble, gamble. So he writes, if so, he may not have to resort to going streaking in a bodysuit. That is a George Costanza reference in Seinfeld, if you don't know. Schefter stepped in it Tuesday night with his tweet, which read as follows, though. Minnesota Vikings running back Dalvin Cook is the victim of domestic abuse and extortion. There's pending litigation, according to his agent, Zach Hiller. On Wednesday, 6 p.m. SportsCenter, Schefter acknowledged as a by-the-way tag on an update regarding Cook that his Tuesday night tweet had been ill-advised.
We actually have that audio.
Oh, let's play it.
Cook did participate in walkthroughs today as we bring Schefty back in. Schefty, what's the latest on the situation involving Dalvin Cook?
The matter is going to be reviewed under the NFL's personal conduct policy, but there's no change in Cook's status right now, essentially because it's a civil complaint. And a civil complaint does not trigger the commissioner's exempt list, which would put him out of action. And in this particular case, she alleges, the ex-girlfriend does, that he physically abused her, caused a concussion, held her hostage. He alleges that he is the victim, and there have been settlement discussions, but no agreement reached. And I just want to add here that in a case like this, it's important to reach out to all sides for information and comment. When I got the information the other night, I didn't do that. And I could have done a better job reaching out to the other people, especially on a story as sensitive and as significant as this. Didn't do that properly. And it's a reminder to slow down in this world. And I appreciate you, Elle, giving me the opportunity to say that.
It's so fraudulent what he just said, but we have some breaking news. Let's get to that right now.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
You got it, McCone?
I do. It's official. Carolina Panthers are signing former franchise quarterback Cam Newton. Newton back with the Panthers.
Good for him. Good for him. I tell you what, that's considering their situation, how bad Sam Darnold is and was in that game, and how he compounded everything. And PJ Walker's not the answer there. I don't think Cam Newton's the answer. But right now, at this point, for a team that is struggling for any identity, to bring him back into that stadium and that city, the place is going to explode down there. Good for him. Good for him to get the interest and have a team. And he's been out for a while, so that's a good situation for him. He's been there. He knows the room. Not knows the room currently as it's constituted, but it's his city. It's where he started.
So Cam Newton going back to the Panthers, and even if it doesn't work out where he's contributing in a major way, I just think in terms of his career, that's a good story that he ends up. He's not going to. I would highly doubt he ends up with another team after this one.
No. Yeah, he's got to be done, right?
This has got to be it for him, but.
It's a nice little story that he gets
to go back there.
And it's really good. This is the type of situation I think he's hoping or sitting out for, because he's not going in there to back anybody up right now.
No.
You know,
he has to play. Not this week, but
next week. He's your starter next week.
Right.
He's your starter next week. And then see where it goes.
Sam Darnold done. Thanks for coming out.
Well, I mean, he's on IR. So he's, like, they said it's 6 week minimum for him, I think, till he comes back. So I'd shelf him for the year. Move on.
He's got Ron Rivera in 2 weeks.
What's that mean, though?
Revenge game.
I think he's fine with Rivera.
I think they're friends.
I remember when Rivera was here in the preseason. They were chatting it up on the sideline. Everything was fine with them. See, but Washington didn't take a flyer on him.
No,
when he's been available and they've had quarterback issues.
Yeah.
By
the way, so to go back to the Schefter thing, good job by Mike Florio of calling Schefter a fraud here by saying this wasn't a matter of sacrificing being right in the name of being first. There was no rush to put that out there. That was hand-delivered to him by an agent. The agent said, here, tweet this. The reason why, again, this is a civil case is because it was something that went back to last year. There were no, I guess, criminal charges. The police may not have even been called, but there are allegations against him. The allegations against him in the civil case is that he abused a former girlfriend, causing a concussion during an altercation at his home. That, according to the Star Tribune in Minneapolis. The lawsuit was filed on Tuesday. The woman filed it in Dakota County District Court, accusing him of assault, battery, and false imprisonment. Cook's attorney said his client was assaulted by the woman after she broke into his residence, saying in a statement Tuesday night, she later tried to extort him out of millions of dollars. So who knows where the case is going? Who knows if there's any merit to the allegations? But to put it out there, he's a victim of domestic.
That is strong words for a guy that is pretty, pretty detailed on his reporting, that I could see why. You could say, okay, he's got other offers and people knocking on his door right now.
What Schefter did was he traded that tweet for all the stuff he gets in advance.
I don't blame him.
He trades doing that to be able to, from that agent and various agents, be the first guy they call to give news to. So that's what that is. That's all that is.
I heard Florio talking about this too. He's like, so the agent called him too, like, hey, call me back. He didn't call him or something. And then he like called him and picked up the phone. He's like, hey, what's up? And he tried to tell him the same thing with what he told Schefter. So, I mean, like, you put that out there like that, I think you're asking for the criticism.
By the way, yeah. Schefter is, it would be one thing if this happened, but Schefter was just involved in a controversy going back, what, a month ago?
Yeah. Yeah, the Washington stuff.
Yeah.
That's two in 1 month.
Like that one, he can't get. That's from years ago when email
that's
surfaces.
Not on him. It leaks.
Yeah. Like he. That's not him trying to get fired. This
Mr.
one,
editor.
I don't know, man. His contract's up next summer. By the way, it's not like he's got 5 years left on the deal.
True.
Schefter's contract is reportedly up in the summer of 2022, and I'm sure he's being paid very well at ESPN.
You think
he ain't hurting for money? Gotta get fired right now in the middle of the season?
No, he's
what
not.
What benefit is that?
But I think he's making it known that I'm gonna be up for negotiations. Like, let's go. Let's start getting people talking. That's what this does. Not like they're not gonna fire him. I don't think he wants to get fired, but I think it's like the beginning of the end there for him. Something different.
Maybe
he's just stuck in that role too, where I need something different.
So you should have gone into coaching after your playing days.
I might.
You want to know what Jim Mora Jr. just got at UConn? You see the money?
I did not.
I didn't see it, no.
He got 5 years at $1.7 million per year to coach a high school team at UConn.
And he's got fired from UCLA.
Like not a good one.
Got fired from UCLA and was paid because their contracts are guaranteed. So he's paid to ride that out. Good life. He'll be offensive coordinator.
You want to go down there, coach?
$1.7 million.
Where'd you live out there?
Zero expectations.
$8.5 million.
I eat the hanger.
He can suck for 3 years.
Win
minimum.
Three games a year, you're good.
He can be so bad for the next 3 years. He
wins three games, he'll get carried off the field.
Statue. Yeah.
Virginia statue. Oh, man.
They might change
that
mascot, that Minuteman, that massive headed thing, and just make him the mascot.
1.7.
Where do they put that head on that thing, too? Where do they store it?
I don't know, but it smells.
It's huge.
I put it on one night.
What was your bad decision?
I put on the Sam Helmer.
I had to pack the Patriot. I did the Patriot one, too. It stinks.
Yeah, it's
like
disgusting.
Puke.
They
puke.
And they send them out to get clean. They still smell after they come back.
Bad breath.
Still gross.
You're half hammered in there, too, probably. Ugh. Running around.
Ugh.
What was that, like, remember Blades of Glory?
All right, so Cam Newton's got a new team today. Cam Newton going back to his old team. He's a Panther. Odell Beckham Jr. is still out there, and the Patriots left and right are saying positive things about Odell Beckham Jr. They're saying it openly. They're not afraid to call him a great player. That could be a sign the Patriots are most definitely in on him. The Red Sox offseason has some things going on. It started with J.D. Martinez opting in over the weekend. Milliken wore his Red Sox jersey today. We'll talk about them coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
We'll take your calls on anything.
Call us here for sports.
Sports calls next at 617-779-0985.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What is this, T-Bone?
Big black sky over my town.
Is this that Red Sox song?
Yes.
Same lyrics?
I think this is the original.
This is the original.
It blows. Absolutely blows.
Oh, yeah. Dancing by myself is coming any moment now. There it is.
I like this.
Stop.
It's got a Madonna 80s club remix bang music.
Not bang music, but
could work out.
It
to
bangs.
This.
not literally bang it, but the
we
song bang. This song bangs.
No further explanation. Keep going.
It's got like a. Who's the girl showed up at malls and sang? Debbie Gibson? It's got a little Debbie Gibson feel to it, / Madonna. So much better than that other crap. That I'm a dude watching you suck face with her in a bar, and I'm dancing myself.
Disrespect.
No disrespect. Bad jam.
And you like this?
Beetle? Better, right?
It's not bad. It moves. It's upbeat. Higher tempo, you know?
Bangs.
Right here.
Not that kind.
Right here. It bangs. Not banging to it. It bangs. Yeah. Thanks.
This is so much more tolerable. Play the other creepy one.
Listen to some real music here.
It's like you hanging out down at the beach, going to Miami. I don't know. You listen to this in Lauderdale.
All right, let's get to some Red Sox items. Where do you want to start, Milliken? You want to start with Seiya Suzuki?
Yeah, we could start there with him.
Am I saying that correctly, by the way? I am, right?
Seiya Suzuki.
Seiya. Are you done?
Yeah.
Seiya Suzuki. He plays for the Hiroshima Carp. It's amazing to me that they would name a baseball team after
a fish.
Carp. Like a crap fish, too.
I mean, it's not
carp.
It's not edible. It's not an edible fish.
That's not good stuff.
I grew up on a river, I think, in Pittsburgh, the Three Rivers, and there's a lot of carp, and you don't want to eat carp. They eat crap.
Yeah. And
Gordon Ramsay couldn't do anything
with carp. I also believe that, isn't there a freshwater carp problem now in this country?
Probably.
They're like an invasive species.
They're big. They grow. They're like you get one of them goldfish. Like my neighbor's got goldfish and he left them in the pond and like he left the water running enough to where it didn't freeze over the winter and these things multiplied. And there were goldfish everywhere in his pond. Like they're fish that what do you call it? Breed? Spawn?
Yeah. Carp. Oh, they're gross.
Disgusting.
They're disgusting, and they're a problem.
They're big. They're not little fish.
They kick out native fish populations like, gross.
Carp.
The Hiroshima Carp of Japan's Nippon Professional Baseball League will be posting the 27-year-old outfielder, Seiya Suzuki.
So he's already 27.
He's 27 years old. Well, yeah, that's...
You got a posting fee of what?
Once he's posted, clubs will have 30 days to negotiate with his representatives. The posting system doesn't have the old blind bid system.
Okay, so it's like not like Dice Game where you're $55 million just to talk to the guy.
No, exactly. The current system determines the posting and release fee owed to the carp based on the size of the contract signed by the player. So what happens now is he's basically a free agent. He can basically choose his team. But the fee that gets paid back to the carp, it's so great that he plays for the carp. He plays for the carp. They will get a portion. I think it's a calculation, but it's 20% of the first $25 million in there, and then so forth. The percentage comes down on the next $25 million.
Right.
So, exactly. For example, if you sign a $50 million contract, the first 25 is taxed at 20%. The next 25 might be like 15%, whatever it is. That's minor details. You don't need to know that. So tell me, Milliken, should the Red Sox be in on this guy?
It's interesting. I think with Seiya Suzuki, the way you should look at him, he's not some kind of Ohtani-esque talent, right? Or, you know, Dice
He's K. not Babe Ruth.
No, you're not going to sit here and go nuts. But he's looked at as the best power hitter over in Japan. He hit 38 home runs this past year. You know, reports... The biggest thing I tell people when you hear about these guys, they're going to make them sound like they are the ultimate five-tool prospect every single time. They somehow are extremely fast, play a perfect outfield, great power, contact, hit for average. The more you dive into these guys, kind of like you did in the past with Ruznay Castillo or some of these other international players, you begin to find the holes. With Suzuki, there's some great things. The power is legit. It's real, you know, 30 home run-ish, 25 home run-ish power. The defense, he's won 4 gold gloves over there. A lot of people are talking about it. It's not as good as people are saying it is. From the reading and the research I've done, the metrics actually point more to him being average to sometimes even below average. He has a great arm out there. He can kind of, in a pinch, go play, you know, center field for you. I would probably compare his defense in that Alex Verdugo-esque realm where it's good, but, you know, it's nothing you're going to sit there and, you know, write books about or anything like that. I look at him. What is his biggest strength, I think, coming over here is the plate discipline. He walked more than he struck out last year in Japan. I believe it was 88 walks or 87 walks to like 86 strikeouts. If you're the Red Sox, what's the one thing you lacked last year that Kyle Schwarber did bring to you? It was plate discipline. Alex Cora talked about it yesterday, how much the Red Sox lineup really needed that. I look at him as a fit. You know, if you can't get Schwarber, you still want to move off a Renfro or something like that, or Verdugo, he can make some sense here.
What's his launch angle? He's one of the, is he, no, seriously, like, is he, how would he benefit here?
Oh, he definitely, like, the power wise is going to play anywhere. It's real legit, you know, home run power.
So it's more of a home run than a than a double hitter.
Yeah, 38 jacks. He's in over the years. It's not like this is a 1 year thing. The last 4 years, he's just continued to hit bombs after bombs, and he hits for a high average. I just think if you're looking to, you know, what will he be here? I picture someone in the 270, you know, 280 range, probably 25 ish home runs. I don't think he's going to go get you a lot of bags. I think he stole 9 last year, and I think you'd get average-ish defense in right field, which is slightly problematic for the Red Sox because we know if you're going to play right field here, you have to be better than your average right fielder.
Hmm.
And MLB Trade Rumors has him getting, I believe the prediction was 5 years, $55 million.
I feel like the hitters that have come from playing in Japan to playing here in the States that teams were excited about going after, they've had a pretty good success rate. There haven't been that many of them. And they're all big, obvious names, whether it be Ichiro Suzuki of the there's no relation that we know of, correct? Hideki Matsui.
That's his comp. That's what a lot of people are putting on him.
I've seen that a lot. Hideki Matsui and obviously Babe Ruth playing for the Angels currently.
Who's the shortstop for the Mets?
Kaz Matsui. Yeah, back in the day.
Yeah, that didn't work. That didn't work out as well. That's a perfect example of the failure.
There, and I think, you know.
But even like Lesser, what was the guy who played for the Cardinals? I think his name was Taguchi, who played for the Cardinals.
So Taguchi?
Yes, correct. He was a decent player. He didn't hit for power, but he was. Like he was a major league quality player. Came here, played, maybe didn't reach the height that they thought he was going to, but he was still a solid everyday player.
I think in recent years, some people have really got turned off to the market because you've seen a lot of players come over from Korea that have not exactly panned out like many had hoped. Ha-Seong Kim, I think, you know, people remember last offseason, the Red Sox were tied to him. He ended up choosing the Padres because he wanted to be on the West Coast. He absolutely blew last year. So I get the reluctance. I think he could make sense in certain ways. Am I telling you right now Suzuki should be at the top of their list? No, but he makes sense in certain pathways, especially if Schwarber doesn't come back.
Yeah, Taguchi had some good years. 291, 288, 290. Again, wasn't a big power hitter, but he was decent. He was decent. His best years were with the Cardinals when he came to them in 2002, and he was 32 years old when he got to the Cardinals. He was an older player. So this guy's 27. I would be all in on this.
That's the
And the Red Sox totally will be, by the way. I heard Maz say it yesterday, and I could not agree with him more. This is totally a Red Sox type of move. They have been obviously a player in this situation before with Matsuzaka, right? I mean, when Daisuke came, they were very much in on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it was different, but I mean, is it though? I mean, it's just a different posting system. It just shows that there's a under
different
this time, ownership,
different excitement,
organizationally,
though, like,
they believe in
was that. Jose Contreras, remember when he was coming over?
Oh, they were all about that. They were pissed.
Theo destroyed
a hotel room when they lost out on that one. Again, different GM, different groups of people in the front office, but I think organizationally, like from the top on down, they do believe in doing this type of thing, and it could result in a bargain.
And the Rays and Chaim Bloom, like they're often in this market. They're always kind of checking in this area. It's why you saw the Red Sox looking there. I think if you're expecting him to come over and put up the same exact stats, you're asking for a lot. But could you profile him as an above average right fielder? Yeah.
Is he better than Hunter Renfro, potentially?
I think he's a little bit better, but I wouldn't say the gap is that significant.
Right now.
Last year, Hunter Renfro had a really solid year last year. You know, you got to give it to him. The guy hit 30 jacks. It was a solid season. I would say he's the next tier up.
The Red Sox were scouting Shohei Ohtani when he was in high school. They made connections with his high school coach, and they were one of the few teams to do it. They recognized the talent in Ohtani early. I'm willing to bet they're going to be very much a player in this especially in this year, this offseason, where they have money to spend.
The only thing that I would say would question it is there's teams like the Rangers who have already shown interest and they want to just spend money because they have nothing going on for them in general.
Yep.
That's probably the one, you know, kind of side I could see someone stepping in and just, you know, going over what he's worth.
All right, good news from Chaim Bloom. We'll tell you what that is, something he had to say this week. And also, we'll give away a pair of tickets to see Dropkick Murphys. We'll do that next. Here's McCone with Headline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
want to talk sports in Boston, you talk to these guys.
That will now be a recycled take.
Right.
But still, what
it's a retake. It's a reheated take. Microwave take.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Not good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're talking to Bruce Arena coming up in about 10 minutes. Right now, caller 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line. 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to see Dropkick Murphys at Roadrunner, the brand new music venue coming to Brighton. Tickets are on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. through dropkickmurphys.com. You know where Roadrunner is, though? I don't know if the official
address. Where is it? Where's it at?
Where is Roadrunner in Brighton? I'm trying to think. Like, we used to, our building used to be in Brighton.
It's on Guest Street in Brighton, right across from where the Boston Bruins Warrior Arena is.
Oh, that's a nice area.
So it's been a couple of years since Zoe and I have been over there, but the pandemic thing happened. And they were building it, and now it's built. And I hear the acoustics in the room are going to be next level, that it's going to be a great venue to see a show. And so, not that Dropkicks needs any help, but they're going to sound great in this show that's coming up at Roadrunner that's over in Brighton. Brand new music venue that has opened up over there.
Nice.
So, I'm looking forward to there being another good venue in town.
Heck yeah. Can't have enough of those.
Nope.
Good area over there. That really got built up, man.
It really did.
Wow.
It's up and coming over there. We used to be over there. Not anymore.
I used to go to Jim's Deli.
Jim's Deli.
God, I haven't been to Jim's Deli in
years. Best. Shout out to Jim.
The greatest deli around. I was just going in for breakfast, and I'm like, the lunch is already ready. He's been up at him. Mashed potatoes, meatloaf, filet of sole. Oh, my God.
Did a great brisket. Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah.
Yep. Good brisket. Good wrestling fan, too.
Well, it's the type of place that you'd expect to see, I don't know, someone like Kyle Schwarber, right? Couldn't you see Kyle Schwarber walking
like
into Jim's Deli, grabbing himself a tray and sitting down?
He's from grizzly here. And
yeah,
greasy.
He's one of us. He's from Waltham.
How far is that ride from Waltham?
Not far. Yeah. Shorter than it would be to ride to here or anywhere else. Hein Bloom said this week that the Red Sox will make an effort to sign Kyle Schwarber and bring him back. This was following the news that J.D. Martinez had opted in and would be taking his money. Kyle Schwarber, quote, he fits us. That's what he said. They will make an effort to bring him back. That's exciting. That's very exciting.
That's good.
And it's sort of...
I like Schwarber.
It sort of goes along with the plan that Milliken laid out for us the other day. You can bring him back. You can have him play first base for half a season. You can figure out the second half of the season as you go, and he becomes your DH next year after J.D. Martinez is gone. But he's a free agent now, so you have to sign him now. And you've got to figure out the balance over the next year. Schwarber could be back. Kyle from Waltham could be back.
Fits here. Likeable player. Yeah, you need guys like this. You need like guys like this as opposed to, you know, if you're going to be a little bit different and bring new guys in. It's just he injected something into you.
Seiyu Suzuki of the Carp of Hiroshima. Carp is who he plays for.
Got some information here on the Carp.
Well, Matt in Hampton wanted to fill us in on Carp. What do you got, Matt?
All right, gentlemen, good afternoon. So,
what's up?
Okay, Japanese carp are actually a breed or a subbreed of koi fish. So if you know what koi fish are, they're giant goldfish.
I got corrected on my neighbor. It's not a goldfish. He's got a koi pond.
Right.
Right. And that was a carp. Those are really carp. So when there's a place called Ogea City. I've been there. It's the koi fish capital of Japan, where they grow them and they harvest them. It's gorgeous. But that's what carp are. They're revered in Japan as koi fish. So carp is, it's a koi fish. Okay.
So do they grow like according to the size of the tank or pond you put them in?
Exactly. They can be giant, giant fish. My father had them, and they were as big as a medium-sized dog, and he used to feed them with dog food. you know, dry dog food, and they would just, you know, it was amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
These things.
You put them in your pool? What,
you know, you should put them in your pool. They'd be fantastic playmates for the kids and have a party and fishing.
Now it's a party. My dog.
Thanks, Matt.
Bentley would love that.
I'm trying to find the Hiroshima carp logo, and
this is called, I guess, gefilte fish. It's a dish that's made with a poached mixture of ground deboned fish such as carp, whitefish, or pike.
Right. So the
traditionally served as an appetizer in Jewish households, popular during Shabbat or Jewish holidays such as Passover. So you get a good jar of fish sitting on your counter. Ugh. And a jar of fish. I bet that thing kept well. Don't spill that on your rug.
They ripped off the Cincinnati Reds. Their cap is the C, the Cincinnati Red C, according to Wikipedia.
Oh, boy.
I was hoping to see if they had a fish in the logo.
I'd put a big mouth, yeah.
It doesn't appear that they do. Maybe there's some unofficial logos out there. And then they have this other logo where it's a little kid at the plate wearing a carp uniform. Like, what is that?
Like, look at the Woo Sox. They got that.
He's not a carp.
Yellow dot. Right?
Smiley face.
Woo Sox. That smiley face thing, yeah. And that's different. Creative.
Hmm. Okay. Eric is in Maine today. Eric.
Yeah, I thought, I like the vibes you guys are bringing today, by the way.
Pardon me?
But real quick, so I don't know what how the league is valuing Marcus Smart right now. We owe him $100 million over the next 5 years. But I think it's time to move on. I think he's become more of a problem in the locker room rather than these young guys looking up to him.
Well, they can't do anything with that until January, so we'll wait and see. It would not stun me if the Celtics tried to move him at some point.
Yeah.
In fact, I think the contract, you know, you say it's $100 million. That's prohibitive if you're a team that's looking to put together a bunch of superstars on big contracts. It's not prohibitive if you're a small market team that's desperate for talent. There are teams that would want him. Just don't know that you'd love the return. You might have to flip it for something else in another deal if they're good picks. But can't do anything about it. Couldn't trade him today, even if you wanted to, following the extension. We'll talk to Bruce Arena, head coach and sporting director of the Revs. We'll do it next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Phone lines are always open for you.
Answer the phone!
Give us, if you want to call up out of the blue.
Answer the phone!
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline to welcome in the head coach and sporting director of the New England Revolution. Once again, it's Bruce Arena with us. Bruce, how are you?
Good. How are you doing today?
We're doing good. Hey, when you were in your office yesterday, did you notice any strange people from our building walking around while you were breaking down film?
I did not.
Yeah, we had a couple tech people down there checking out the new facility and all.
Yeah, we might be down there to visit you in person.
Yeah, you might be seeing us real soon.
That'd be great. Stop by anytime you want.
All right. We could do lunch.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
We'll have our people talk to your people.
Yeah.
We'd love to have you come down here and do your show here.
I think it's in the works.
I think we're heading there.
I think it's in the works. Yeah. Next time you play is not until the 30th. So
the 30th, correct.
23 days of a layoff. You didn't notice our tech people yesterday. That tells me you're laser focused right now. How do you figure out the schedule? Like, what's the schedule? Is there a routine you're going to figure out to sort of get that time and Use it and use it to your advantage, really.
Yeah, we're gonna play a couple of practice games in Gillette to get us ready. One game against outside opposition, another game between ourselves, using some of our players from our Revolution 2 team as well. So we're going to prepare our guys as best we can, and probably one or two additional training sessions in Gillette. And then along the way, over these 20 days, we'll have a mix of going at it pretty hard, and then some days off. You know, we're going to give them obviously Thanksgiving Day off, and the day after that they'll have a 2-day break. So between now and then, they'll probably have 4 days off, 5 days off, and we're going to prepare, put in a few new things to get ready for the playoff game and hopefully have them ready. But no one ever knows the answer to something like this because this is an unusually long layoff.
Unusually long, plus, I mean, you know how the weather changes here. You know, and living in the Northeast, have you been in this situation before to where you could use that as sort of, I don't want to say a home field advantage, but there's a chance it could be 15 degrees. You know, one day could be 70 the next.
Yeah. We'd like to think it's an event. Look at these last 2 days here. It's been absolutely gorgeous. So whoever knows, the field in Gillette is heated, which is a real positive. So we're not going to have real crazy conditions, even if it's very cold. So I think it's going to be to our advantage. Either way, we're going to be playing at home on our artificial field that we're used to and under, different types of conditions for the opposing team in terms of the weather. So I don't think there's going to be too many excuses that we're going to have that day.
So some things we're taking care of this week. I'm referring to Gustavo Bo re-signing with the team. Gustavo Bo is locked up. Carlos Heel is locked up on your team. You know, those two key guys choosing to stay with your team. What does it say about the team, the franchise, the culture? I don't know that at any point prior to now people would ever expect that, significant players like that choosing to stay. So what does it say about where the team is at right now?
Well, it's great. And, the Crafts have stepped up in their support of the team. And before I got here, I believe there's one designated player in Carlos, and now we've added two, and we've re-upped both of them. So it's a sign that the players like it here, that ownership is supporting this team. Our new training facility helps as well. And we're having success on the field. And, we had 31,000 people at our last game. So things are looking up. I was disappointed we didn't get the result we wanted in the last game. But having said that, it's probably not the worst thing. It wakes us up a little bit and hopefully has us properly prepared for the next game.
That's amazing to think, what the fan size was and what it has been from a spectator standpoint to have 31,000. Now you have this layoff, and then we talked to you about this before. You guys can easily push over 40,000 as far as the excitement and the buildup for that first game here. Is that realistic?
I'd love to see it. Well, I'd like to believe it's realistic, but I don't sell the tickets. So hopefully that gets done. But we've had just great support over the last couple of months here, and we're going to need it in the playoffs. Not any different in the NFL. It's one game, and you could be out. So we got to be on top of our game and have a strong support. And the stands is certainly going to help.
You gave this tremendous quote, by the way, going back a few weeks. We had asked you about it, and it was about being ahead of schedule. And obviously, you said it was a bleep show. Is that how you described it when you came here in 2019?
Yeah, but, probably not the fairest thing to say because, the people that were here previously worked real hard to make this team and franchise right, and they were a little unsuccessful. So maybe that's a little bit of my big New York mouth shooting it off. But we weren't in great shape at that time. Maybe I could have phrased it a little bit better. But I do give credit to the guys before me. They worked real hard. They left me with some players that turned out to be pretty good players. So in all fairness, I could have been a little bit better in what I said. But having said that, we were the last place team basically in this league, and there were a lot of things we had to get right, both on the field and off the field as an organization. And we're doing that. We're getting better. We're not where we want to be, but we're making progress, and that's a tremendous credit to the players, but also my coaching staff and support staff have done a great job.
This is measured Bruce Arena right now. Is it? This is a very measured response. I like unmeasured Bruce Arena.
I think the interviews are better.
I like New York Bruce
a little bit.
I'm sorry.
And you know, I said, you know, I'm a little bit of a jerk for talking like that, but you know, that's all part of it. That's kind of who I am, I guess. I'm a little jerk.
Reality sucks, huh? I mean, that's reality, man. You call like you see it. Yeah. We appreciate that.
When it comes to Adam Buksa and his availability for the 30th, do you expect that he will be healed up enough from his foot injury to be able to play?
We do. The injury he had, he played the last two games with. So, you know, we know he's going to be okay. It's a process that it'll take him, you know, a couple of weeks to get healed properly, but he's very anxious to get back on the field, and I don't think that's going to be an issue.
You have a little injury of your own going on right now?
Yeah, I have a partially torn Achilles tendon.
Oh, my God.
That sounds painful.
Is that horizontal or vertical?
It is vertical, which has saved me. If it was horizontal, it would probably be surgery.
Wow.
So a little bit of a tear. You know, it's scarring up. It's getting better, and hopefully I'll be, I'll be ready for November 30th.
All right, then. Bruce, always great talking with you. We'll do it again next week.
Thanks, guys.
And we'll see you soon.
See you, Bruce.
Thanks.
Great. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Bruce Arena.
Vertical tear.
Yeah, ooh, lucky.
Brady had that.
That probably can't feel good, though.
Painful.
What's that?
No, Mass had complete tear.
Like someone hit it with a
You ever seen the pictures from that basketball game in Canton?
No.
Oh, my God. Like the T-shirt on underneath the shooting shirt, and Mass can't carry it off. I'm not laughing.
It's rolled up like a shade.
You hit 50, everything changes. Like, and there was a time, Maz, there was two guys in my neighborhood that tore them like the same week Maz did. They're all like same age. Like, that's from you not used to that plant and stopping, man, that quick change of direction. Snap, snap.
Snip, snap.
How about that getting a vertical tear? That's,
yeah.
Well, that's got to be painful.
Okay, then. We've got something on Cam Newton. He signed back with his old team today, the Carolina Panthers. But wait until you hear the money. McCone has those details. We'll talk about it right after headlines. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.